and welcome to the Empowered Adoptee Podcast, where our goal and focus is to support the adoptee healing journey by providing tools that empower and sharing stories that inspire. So thank you for joining us. Welcome to episode 13. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about the Empowered Adoptee Retreat and the reflections that we have from the retreat. Hey, Claire.
Hey, Lori. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I feel like I'm still acclimating from the retreat still, but overall, I'm doing well and spending time in my garden. And yeah, how about you?
Yeah, I'm feeling really good. And it took me a while to, I guess, decompress and recharge after the retreat. It took a lot out of me, I think, just emotionally, physically, all around. Yeah, and I'm still processing, but I'm doing really good. And I'm excited to talk about it today.
Absolutely. I can totally relate. I felt that I kind of needed to crawl into my little cave and just take some downtime, allow everything to just land and process, and yeah, just give thanks for such an amazing retreat weekend, but also reflect on how much energy, energetically and emotionally, that it takes to be able to hold a container that is a safe space for healing. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity to do that. But I'm also open to listening to my own needs and body now to just be able to replenish and take everything in and just allow all that goodness from our time together to really nourish me and to land.
I fully receive that. And I also resonate a lot with what you shared. I think after I hold breathwork sessions, particularly, and when I experience breathwork sessions, I always feel it's important to really protect your energy and to hold it inward. And what that means to me is that we share so vulnerably and we put ourselves out there in order to experience some of these healing modalities and to be just open to, you know, whatever comes up and learning from the experience. But with that, I think it's super important just to not just jump right back into life, like everyday life, where it tends to be where your energy is spent all these different places and people want your energy and different experiences and just normal everyday life. Like you said, we spend our energy there, but it's important to just keep it inward and protect it for a while you're still integrating, while you're still processing, and just in that vulnerable state. So, and that's what I've been trying to do, and I hope you have as well. And I hope our listeners, especially our retreat participants, they have also been able to hold the container, hold this space for themselves. Yeah.
I feel that. Yeah. I feel that in the sense that a lot of my friends, they're so excited for me and for us and for the retreat and all of our attendees, and everyone wants to know what happened and how was it and this and that. And I just checked in with myself and realized, wow, I actually don't have availability to share right now. You know, it definitely feels like that there's a part of me that is still holding that container and just allowing all that information to digest, and almost speaking about too much of it too early is not honoring the experience. So I've just said to friends, you know, oh, I'll tell you later, like maybe in a month, you know, because it's this moment where it feels like we shared such a deep space together and we did such deep healing work together, and just honoring that time together by taking time to be silent, taking time to be in prayerful meditation. And, you know, when it feels right, I trust that it'll be the right time to share with friends, I've just been telling them, oh, it was great. So till then, I just trust that this information and all the work we did together is just coming in for a deeper landing before I really feel comfortable sharing with people some of the work we did together. But we are going to share some of that. Of what exactly did we do that whole weekend, Claire?
What did we do? Oh my gosh, so much. But just first of all, I just want to take a moment and honor what you shared about just, you know, honoring your boundaries almost and being able to process in your own way without sharing too much that was going to just maybe take you out of that process. So now is the time that we decided that we did want to share our insights, our messages, and honor all of those processes, all the things that we've been processing, and share them with our listeners so that we can really give it the full attention that we had wanted to. And for anyone who is curious about what a retreat, what goes on at a retreat, like, to be honest, these are things that I've often wondered. I'm like, it sounds like, you know, it sounds like a little bit strange. Like, I know I have a lot of friends, I have a lot of people in my life who have experienced retreats, have even led retreats, but I've always been like, well, what really goes on? What kind of sorcery is there? So I think this is an opportunity for us to share exactly what did go on and some of the reflections afterwards. You know, how did we feel about it? And what were some of the things that came up during these events of the retreat? So I'd love to just dive right in with you, Lori, and talk about some of the events that we held, and maybe, you know, we could just discuss some of our insights. For example, one thing that I wanted to ask you, going into the retreat, we didn't know everyone who was going to participate. You know, we opened it up for Korean adoptees who were seeking healing and feeling empowerment. So we opened up this experience for anyone who wanted to join, right? And we didn't know who we were going to get, who was going to come and join the retreat. So I thought it was very, I know we talked a little bit about this and how special it was with each retreat participant came for their own reasons, but what they brought and shared, it was just unbelievably special and beautiful. And we both felt, and I know Jolie felt this as well, that everyone was there for a reason. Like, there was something that drew them to this retreat. And I think I said it before, was like the retreat, they didn't find the retreat. The retreat found them. I don't know what your thoughts about that.
Definitely.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, from hearing people's stories of how they found out about the retreat, it definitely felt like the universe and the retreat information itself found these people who were open and ready and resonating with this work. And oftentimes people would say, oh, I'm not even on Facebook. And somehow this information was, you know, brought to my attention, and it's exactly what I've been looking for. And just so many times people saying how they were so surprised to see this about the retreat and realizing, like, wow, that's incredible. You're not even on Facebook and somehow you got this information. Or some people heard it from a friend. And just the timeliness of everything too, because everyone sounded like, oh, I really have been needing this, wanting this, looking for this. And so it just felt like all the stars aligned to make this happen. Oh, and then also too, we had all those people last minute who wanted to sign up after registration was already closed. And I think we had like three people, and they're like, oh, is there room? Is there space? You know, can I still sign up? Can I join you? And that was surprising to me too, to have such a big response last minute.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and what I just noted was that each person, although we shared this background of being Korean adoptees and in seeking, seeking empowerment and seeking healing, however, everyone was so different, and they were all on different parts of their journey. Some had been on this journey for 25 plus years, and this was just part of their process, that they felt that they needed at this stage in their journey. And some were fairly new, and some had started years ago, like 20 years ago, and then paused it, and then just had decided recently to invest more of their time and energy into these things that we talked about and part of their journey. So it was really interesting to me how everyone was on such different places in their life and their journey, but we all came together, and I feel like it was the right timing for all of us who were there at that weekend. Does that make sense? It was perfect timing.
It definitely makes sense. It was perfect timing. I loved how everyone, even though we, like you said, we share this similar lived experience, and I loved how everyone was on a different part of the same path. And it felt really refreshing to hear different people's thoughts, feelings, and opinions, and where they were and are on that path. And when they were courageous enough to share with the group, I felt that it really built
Absolutely.
the group container of trust, and also it allowed a deeper healing to happen because of people being able to share where they're at on the journey. And so it felt really powerful to be able to be in a space where we can process and talk about these things. Claire, what was it like for you to be part of the creation and also a recipient of being held in such a safe container with so much intention with people who have shared a similar life experience as you?
Yeah, thank you for asking me that question. I feel like it was exactly what I needed. And we had talked about what it means to hold space, and a lot of the planning went into this retreat and being able to set up this safe space, this container where everyone felt really comfortable to share and were able to be vulnerable. And I think we have really worked hard to create that kind of a container for everyone. And I definitely felt it. Oh my gosh. Like the sharings, everyone who shared, myself, you, Jolie, and all the participants, they were so powerful. And that's something that I took away. And I'll always remember that power of everyone sharing, so vulnerable. Also, not just the sharing, but the collective healing, of course, because that comes when you're sharing vulnerably and you're feeling validated from everyone sharing as well. But the collective coaching is what I was trying to come up with a way that I could feel in like a term to coin it. But it was more that, like, when we were all sharing, and of course, I noticed it after a very powerful session, especially after we did things like the discussion about identity, intersectionality. And some of it came up with sharing after your inner child healing workshop, as well as the somatic breath work. And the shares that everyone expressed what they were moving through, what came up for them, and there were a lot of big emotions. And what I felt after that was that no one felt like they were too big, like their emotions were too big, like they were taking up too much space. Although in the very beginning, I think that was kind of a something that people were afraid to feel. And after they shared something really big and vulnerable, I felt like there was this, this process where everyone felt it collectively, and it was this healing process, but also it wasn't like everyone was offering suggestions or ways to fix each other. It was almost like this natural progression of what I see happening during coaching sessions, where someone will share something that they're struggling through, and then usually it's the coach, but in this case, it was the leader, the facilitator, and all the participants were really offering insights into what they were sharing, insights and just asking more questions, like getting really curious, and then asking, for more deeper shares. And then the messages and all the awarenesses that everyone was gaining from this discussion, that was the most powerful part that I saw. And that's, to me, was just like, whoa, like that cannot just be created anywhere. So that's what I noticed. And I thought it was just super, it was so unique. I've never felt that in any other spaces before. How about you, Lori?
Oh, absolutely. I love the magic that can happen when you gather a group of people together who are open, who are holding a space of loving kindness and healing, and how people just naturally gravitate or feel moved to be able to share certain pertinent information that could be helpful for someone else, or just being able to share personally where they're at and their process, and how that could be the exact answer or insight for another person. And there's just something magical about being able to gather as a group, and the ability to heal as a group. There's just something so special about that because it happens so naturally and easily when a group is open and feels safe to share and connect, even if it's their first time, even if they don't really have clarity yet on what they're wanting to share, but they just have the courage to share, and then the clarity comes, the healing comes, and the insight that it has for other people is really, lack of a better term, magical. It's pretty amazing. Even when people are thinking, oh, I, don't really feel comfortable talking about this. And those are those moments where there's so much deep healing in those moments of being able to reveal and bring up information and events, stories, personal experiences that really have a huge resonance for being able to help heal the collective.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's really insightful. And I think that one thing that came up for me was that, again, it goes back to some of the planning, a lot of the planning that we did as a facilitating team, and why we, as we call it, the dream team, you, myself, and my daughter Jolie, we all went into this with a very specific, I guess, goal of being able to create this safe space for everyone to feel this this magic, like you called it. And I definitely felt the magic. But one of the things and the strengths that I feel that Jolie brought to it was from her experience leading retreats. And what we did in the very beginning, the very first night, we all gathered there. And we sat down and we did some introductions and icebreakers, but we also decided as a group, all of us, all the retreat participants and the facilitators, we designed our own rules or guides, I guess, guiding principles of how we were going to interact with each other. And we were very, very specific with some of these, where I think some of the rules were really like, great ones, because it helped us guide us to this place where we did want to feel that everyone was respected, everyone was seen and heard, everyone had a chance to talk, no matter, no matter what, if they wanted to share or didn't want to share. We all had the space to be able to express ourselves fully, without, the sorries, without the sorries. And so that's something that a lot of us are not used to. And I'm going to speak from my own experience. I'm not used to that. I'm used to shrinking in spaces, and I'm used to feeling sorry before I even open my mouth. What is that about? So I just want to say that all the I guess the different elements, the stars were all aligned, and that was something I felt that was really well done. Everyone brought to this retreat, and they brought 100% of them with an open heart and an open mind. And so that was something that just blew me away.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it definitely blew me away too. I am so grateful how everyone showed up and they just seemed so excited and so open and so ready and so kind and caring and already, loving and supporting each other without even knowing each other yet. And I felt that starting with the discussions on identity, intersectionality was a really great icebreaker and powerful way to start seeing how we all connect and to start building bonds through connection of how we identify ourselves, whether it be race, whether it be age, whether it be spirituality, or many of the other of the big eight identities. And it was just a neat way to be able to start helping me to see how we all connect in all these other ways as well in the areas of identity. And so it felt like a great way to start opening that conversation. And then being able to set our own ground rules together as a group, I felt like really created the container and really created that safety for people to feel that they could share and that there would be confidentiality and there would be this space where you were allowed to share authentically and not have to say sorry. And I loved how people just really held the space together and created their own retreat, even though we had it so well curated and organized and planned. But I also want to just thank you, Claire, and also thank Jolie for your ability to be flexible and present and feeling the container, feeling everyone, and being able to really meet the needs of the moment. And instead of just, feeling like, okay, we have a timeline, we got to meet this timeline, now it's time for this, now it's time for that. It felt that it was so seamless in our connection of being able to share and present a powerful healing workshop and giving people the time to process and downtime to feel and even just time to be able to spend time outside in our beautiful location where we were at in Guerneville. What did you think about that?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah, thank you for that's really sweet of you to say, and the same goes to you. I think I was just really, really surprised, honestly, but also really grateful and thankful that everyone felt that they could be authentically them and they could speak their mind. And we had this idea that like some of the discussions would bring out commonalities amongst all of us, but there are a lot of very definite differences. Is
Oh,
that a thing?
yeah.
Definite differences. So we are not all the same, even though we're all CADs and we have that commonality with the adoption, and most of us were adopted into white families. So there's a lot of overlap with that, but we are so different as people. And the intersectionality identity discussion that highlighted a lot of that. And so what I saw were people saying, this is me. And they were not afraid to speak up for how they were feeling. And I love that. I was there for it. And people were actually saying, I need this space. Even though we have a meditation scheduled for 7 a.m., I need the space and the rest. So I am not going to get up at 7 a.m. or I'm going to get up and I'm going to go in the hot tub instead. And that was okay. And I think we all learned a lesson in being flexible and being able to connect to each and every person there and feeling that out and knowing when we had to change up the schedule and how we had to improvise and, just go with the flow and to look at the collective as serving the collective. It's not all about me. It's not all about you. It's not all about one person in particular. It was about everyone collectively being able to speak up for themselves and express themselves without, without like the group retaliating. Everyone felt like they were able to do that. They were able to sit out things that they didn't feel like they had the energy for. And we even, added things. So I think it was just amazing how everyone felt that. And I saw people show who they really were. They were like really in the moment and saying, "This is how I'm feeling at this time," without apologizing for it. And then everyone was just like, wow, like it kind of started a chain reaction. And I thought that was amazing. And that was just something that I strive for in my everyday life. So I was really inspired by that.
Beautiful. Absolutely. Absolutely. So Claire, the healing modalities that we went over and experienced together, I just want to say they were all so powerful to be able to do in a space where we all have a shared experience of being adopted. And I just really felt how special and powerful, extra powerful, these different healing modalities were because of those circumstances. I know the movement therapy that we did, the somatic movement therapy with Mihun, was pretty incredible with being able to go through these movements that I haven't done since I was a child and experiencing. And thinking about, well, what was I thinking? What was happening in my life? What was going on when I was moving like this last, you know? And I just wanted to give a shout out and say thank you for all of our facilitators, to Mihun, to you, to Jolie, even myself, for bringing these modalities and sharing a space with so much consideration and heart for the group and the collective. I know your somatic breath work was super powerful for myself and so many other people. And just being able to share with people how to connect with the body and with the energies, emotions, and feelings that we store in there, I felt was super powerful. And to share that response with the group was amazing as well. Yeah, the EFT workshop was incredible. I knew that we were running a little late upon schedule, and I wanted to keep it shorter for us to have dinner sooner than later. But then, we were in it, and it was just moving and grooving and so amazing. And that energy of like being able to move and process the energy together was so powerful. So it did go a little bit longer than expected, but it felt just right. It just felt like everything felt just right. And I think that's because we allowed the flow instead of trying to force the flow. What are your thoughts on the healing modalities that we shared?
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up because every single one, although they were all different healing modalities and they had the connecting to our bodies and connecting to ourselves, that was kind of the theme, but they're each so different. And you're just like you described the power of the EFT tapping session. Oh my gosh, like I noticed a huge change in just the energy shifts with everyone before and then afterwards. Like that is something that is very noticeable, but also like the integration. You taught people how to connect with their bodies and how to use tapping. I know I had at least one person reach out after the retreat and saying, "I have been using this in my everyday life, and this showed me how to do it." And just the feedback was that, like, wow, like this is actually something that was so needed. I certainly could have used a lot of these tools growing up, but now it's here, and I'm just like embracing it 100%, opening my heart to all the possibilities. And I think everyone is from the retreat has also shown that they are open to that as well. So thank you so much for teaching us and guiding us through so many beautiful experiences. I definitely also want to thank Miyun for her somatic movement therapy. Oh my gosh, that was powerful. And I noticed right away that, like, just that connecting to my body and being able to, because I have always wanting to connect to parts of myself, and I do try to go back and do that in, like, with different parts of me, especially doing, like, younger versions of me, like inner child healing. But what she did was lead us through this amazing workshop where I was able to truly connect with all parts of those parts of me that I've been wanting to connect with for so long. And especially like when she had us moving, crawling on the ground. And from that perspective, like how much time do you actually spend on the floor, like crawling around, moving like a baby, rocking, all of those different perspectives of looking at the world through that lens, it brought me right back. And I was instantly connected. And I was like, wow, I need to do more of this. So that was something that was personally very, very powerful for me. And I know that from leading the somatic breathwork session, I was able to really feel people moving through and working through a lot of insights and visions and messages that they were receiving during that session. And that's beautiful to watch because sometimes it takes being guided through a modality like that and like EFT tapping to be able to connect on that level with parts of yourself. It wasn't like we were telling them like to do, like we were telling them what messages they had to receive or, telling them a way to think. It was them tapping into themselves, tapping into their body, into tapping into their subconscious mind, which we don't always know how to access. And by learning how to access it through different modalities, whoa, that was just amazing to watch. So, yeah, thank you so much for bringing all of your knowledge and expertise and guiding us through so many of those. I took away so much, and I'm just excited to keep doing this, to keep doing this kind of healing work and, the collective by providing these tools for the community. I think it just opens up so much more possibilities. So that's what I have to say about it. Do you want to add anything, or do you want to talk about another aspect of the retreat?
One thing I would like to add, Claire, is with the EFT, the emotional freedom technique, I feel that it is most powerful, and it was so powerful because we were willing to feel the uncomfortable feelings. We were willing to take a moment to do the tapping, do the breathing, and really let ourselves feel the feelings and the emotions and be willing to love ourselves anyways, and bringing the compassion and the empathy to those areas of our being that maybe aren't so pretty, maybe aren't so lovable, is, I believe, why this work is so powerful. And it's helped me be able to heal so much, especially the areas that, I really didn't think were going to be healable. And so I'm just so grateful that everyone was such a willing participant to do the work, to feel the feels, and to kick it in the butt, to be willing to take their power back. And I am so grateful to have had this opportunity to be able to do it in a group space where we share a lot of the similar feelings and emotions being adoptees, and that just makes it even more powerful when you're not doing it alone. You're doing it with other people who are feeling similar feelings from similar experiences and willing to do the work and feel the feelings and move through them, not willing to hold them down and hold ourselves back because it's uncomfortable or it's scary. I'm like, yeah, it is scary sometimes, but you gotta push through at times, and there's so much benefit on the other side when you do. So I'm just so grateful for everyone and the whole experience of everyone's bravery and just willing to show up, even if it was a little messy, even if they were feeling triggered, and that just was made it so perfect. So thank you so much. On another note, I'd like to add that so many times during the retreat, that feeling of camp, of CAD camp or just adoptee camp came up. And it definitely felt like that. It felt like an adult camp for adoptees. And a part of me was thinking that, man, maybe we should change the name of this retreat, you know, and create a more camp experience. And my other thought was, do you think that 3 nights and 3 days was enough for this experience? Or do you think it would almost serve to have it longer?
Oh my God. Well, okay. So I just want to like pick apart some of the things that you said. Yes, 100% full send yes to the camp experience. I'm here for it. That's what I felt too. And I think that everyone was feeling that, like not just us, everyone was feeling this, I don't even know what to call it. It is like, it's one of those collective experiences. I know we talked about this once before, but I just want to touch on it. It's, I think Brene Brown, I want to say she may have coined a term or talked about this on one of her podcasts, but it's that collective experience where, like, let's say you're at a ball game and everyone starts doing the wave together, mm-hmm. or you all start doing a chant or something, you know, and then you feel the energy and you feel wanting to be part of it and you jump in. It's not like you're being brainwashed, but it's just like this collective energy and everyone feels the excitement and you feel a bonding towards everyone. That's what I felt growing up during my camp experiences. I went to Girl Scout overnight camp. And although it was not all pleasant, mm-hmm. I remember just being starving all the time and cold. And they used to make us do polar bear plunges at 5 a.m. So I'm like not here for that. But like that bonding experience that I did feel with everyone, like that's what I felt at our retreat. And I want to recreate that again and again. Now, as far as the length of it, I know we had 3 nights together. It didn't feel enough, but I'm not sure how much would be too much. Like, would it be a whole summer? I don't think that people can arrange that, but maybe, you know, a couple more nights, maybe like 4 or 5 nights. Yeah, like I'm here for it. I would definitely do that.
I'm definitely here for it too. I'm almost feeling something like a Monday through Friday kind of experience where we could be able to really go a little bit deeper and be a little bit more immersed and have more nature inspired activities where it is a little bit more like camp, but it's like a spiritual healing connection community camp for adoptees. I love that.
I do too.
Because most of the experiences that we've researched are out there are just like maybe a day, maybe a 2 day. And I'm not really sure if that's going to be enough time to really be able to create the space and do and share all the things that we want to be able to share with the group. Offering tools to people that they can actually take away with them and use in their lives to be able to make a difference in their connection with themselves, their family, their community, and so on.
Yeah, and that brings up something that I wanted to talk about as well. Thank you for mentioning that. That's definitely our aim, one of our aims that we were looking to bring for the experience. But I also wanted to talk about how people can integrate the modalities and the messages and the tools that they learned, integrate them into their life. And what are some of the next steps for us? You know, like, yeah, we're going to plan a follow-up retreat for sure. It's just like we need to get on the planning and so that we can offer that soon. to the CAD community, but I also wanted to talk about what are some integration, like how can we integrate, all of those parts of ourselves that we were then able to get in touch with, receive messages from, and awareness about. How do we integrate that into our lives? How have you been able to integrate, Lori?
Well, my tips for integrating in general for after the retreat and integration for my own self is just really starting to create a dialogue with myself, one that is helpful, loving, kind. We all talk to ourselves in our heads, but it would be a lot more supportive if we were conscious and aware of it, and we were speaking to ourselves with a kind, loving, and supportive voice. And so I'd say that would be number one, to just bring our mindfulness and our heartfulness to how we speak to ourselves. And then to start listening to our nervous system, to be able to feel when we are dysregulated, when we're keyed up, and we're probably just maybe needing a deeper breath, and bringing breath into our daily practice. Of course, we all breathe to exist and live, but when we take a conscious breath that is a breath for helping our bodies to relax, helping our bodies to feel safe, supported, nourished, helping our bodies to just know that it's okay, whatever is going on around us, that we're still okay. And that right there in itself has such a powerful ability to be able to connect deeper and to take that into our integration and into our world. And also, we share that with the people that are around us as well. By bringing our own awareness to our bodies and nervous system and bring it to a place of regulated ease and calmness, we actually create that for the whole field of the people who are around us as well.
Absolutely.
And so that's, I'd say, my main suggestion for integration. How about you, Claire? What do you suggest for next steps and tips to be able to take all this information and collective healing work into our daily life?
Well, yeah, I just want to acknowledge and honor what you said. Definitely, it's super important to keep practicing these tools. It's like kind of like a skill. If you can't just do it once and then forget it and think it's going to keep working. I've tried that. It doesn't work. And so, I mean, I would just encourage everyone to, once you learn some of these healing modalities like the EFT tapping and the somatic breath work and the movement therapy, keep practicing those every day if you can. So what I suggest, personally, when I do somatic breath work, I do a daily practice. It's a shortened version. It could be 5 to 10 minutes. But for me, what it does is so powerful because it helps me to remove the blocks, the limiting beliefs that I have, the walls that I put up. And those blocks keep me from progressing towards my goals. And they kind of keep me staying small in life, and all the dreams and the visions and the possibilities that I gain these insights into, like who I can become, how I'm going to show up in the world. Someone that the blocks come up every day, and this is natural. Like we talk ourselves out of so many things, and I've done it my whole life. But when we work on things like the somatic breath work for me, that helps to just remove those blocks every day so that I can start by going into my day with more intention, more understanding, more compassion for myself and others, more empathy and curiosity. But then it also helps me bring me closer to my true self, my authentic self who I align with. But somehow during the day, sometimes like other people's energy will shift that away. I will just think of all the excuses in the world why I can't reach my goals. And so that helps me just on an everyday basis. So that would be something that I'm going to use for integration. Keep doing that. But also, we didn't talk about it this episode, but we talked about it last episode, the Korean cooking. Oh my God, what an amazing experience that was. And I know myself, I'm just getting started. I'm not an expert. I definitely am still learning. And I learned a couple more recipes than I knew before. And I saw everyone else at the retreat learning as well and sharing their knowledge with each other. I just want to encourage everyone to keep doing that, sharing it with their families, their children. I know that there are some cats that really struggle with this challenge of how do we teach our culture, Korean culture, when we didn't grow up? We don't really know our Korean culture that well. How do we teach that to our children, the next generations, and our families? And how do we teach something that we don't really know that much about? But I think discovering it together is a great way to do that. Like, keep discovering, keep experimenting, and keep learning about it because it's just going to help us all become more connected with that part of our identity, that part of our heritage. And so I'm just excited, but just because I see it everywhere in the CAD community, I see everyone trying new things and like going to meetups, and they're going to experience different cultural traditions. And I just say, I'm cheering everyone on. I want them to continue to do that. It's so beautiful for me to see, and it encourages and inspires me as well when I see that happening. So I would say just keep doing that. And this could maybe just be a little segue into what I think we both wanted to acknowledge maybe on the way out as we wrap up about AAPI Heritage Month. We just wanted to acknowledge and celebrate it and speak about it because this is AAPI Heritage Month. So do you want to speak to that at all, Lori?
I would. AAPI is Asian American Pacific Islander Month. I guess it was only Asian AAPI week originally, and then increased to a month. And it's a time to be able to be aware of the different people. Well, pretty much it's an umbrella group of people that can trace our roots back to the continent of Asia or the island nations of the continent of Oceania. And it's a time to just be able to honor, I think, our ancestors, our history, our struggles, and our achievements as Asian Americans, and what we bring to the world. And so, just wanting to give a shout out to those who are Asian American, Pacific Islanders out there are sharing and contributing whatever it is that moves them and that they love, and how important it is to do that.
Yes. Yeah, so I just 100% honesty here and transparency. I only learned about this last year. So I'm like, I'm learning of everything. I just want to say if whoever you want to honor or celebrate, we're not here to tell you what to do, but I just encourage that you maybe explore that and come up with your own way to honor and celebrate. So maybe something you can do is just to think about going to a cultural activity that is going on in your neck of the woods and attend a meetup or something, or organize your own with some friends and explore some new traditions together, either with your family or your friends or by yourself. I mean, whatever you decide to do to honor and celebrate it is your way. And that's something that's taught me just being in the Korean adopted community is that some of these Korean traditions and cultural things that I don't know anything about, like we can make our own and it's totally okay. Like it doesn't have to be perfect and I'm not like gonna be an imposter or feel like an imposter because I'm not doing it right. But it just made me think of one thing that we did over the retreat weekend, which was so special to me. One of the participants wanted to do a Korean traditional celebration, which is typically done when your baby is one, turning one, and I think it's called a dolchanchi. Dolchanchi. I'm not sure if I'm butchering the pronunciation, but my daughter Jolie, who is now 25, She never got to have one because I didn't even know what it was back then when she was one. And so all her aunties and all the participants got together and threw her this ceremony. And I just thought it was like, oh, it touched my heart. It just was like so special to watch that. And I know that it was super special for her as well. So it's not too late to learn new traditions and to make up your own. That's what I want to say.
I love that, Claire, because this is a pretty new thing, this whole AAPI month. It's only really been around since 1978 and then updated during the 90s and 97 specifically, where this is a growing cultural time and experience where we get to create it however way that feels right and feels fit. And to be a part of that history and culture of being able to create your own culture of what this month represents and is about, it's pretty neat that we get to contribute to that and make it what it is. Yeah,
Agree.
absolutely.
So.
Well, thank you so much, Claire, and thank you everyone out there listening. We hope that you have a beautiful day today and that you get to join us potentially at the retreat sometime in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to give a special thank you to everyone who attended the Empowered Adoptee Retreat. And for you, Lori, and for Miyun, and for Jolie and myself, everyone who helped f facilitate it. Yeah, just special. It was just, it was more than I could ever hope for, and I definitely am so honored to be part of it. And just lastly, if you are celebrating AAPI month and you would like to post about it, we would love to see it. Tag us in hashtag the Empowered Adoptee. And we want to see all of your cultural traditions and celebrations out there. So yeah, so we look forward to our next week with you and have an amazing week.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's episode of the Empowered Adoptee Podcast, and we look forward to connecting with you more next week. Thank you.